The Guardian.
Hello, this is Music Weekly. I'm Alexis Petridis and we're into the final days of 2011. Didn't it all go so fast? Today, I'll be reviewing the best bits of the year with guests Katie B, Rizzle Kicks and our very own Rebecca Nicholson. It was the year Adele single-handedly kept the British music industry afloat. PJ Harvey took a second Mercury Prize and Lana Del Rey appeared from nowhere. Or maybe not, eh? We'll be discussing all these stories plus our panel's own highlights of the last 12 months. That's all to come on Music Weekly from The Guardian. So, the festive season has been enforced upon Music Weekly by senior management. With me in the studio, proper pop stars, for once, not just writers, your actual people who've been in the charts, amazing. Supping mulled wine and munching mince pies. First of all, Katie B. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Well, what better for having some wine?
It's good, isn't it?
Time in the morning.
Quarter past 11 in the morning, and we're having a spot of mulled wine. It's going to be a very free-form podcast. We're going to be riffing like John Coltrane. What has been your oddest memory of the year, Katie?
I don't know. If I was going to say the thing that kind of made me feel a bit strange over the last couple of years, the last year is on tour, maybe this dude waiting outside in Birmingham with like this really strange teddy bear. And like kissing, he went in for a kiss as well.
Oh dear!
Yeah,
sort of a potential
stalker.
That's
quite odd.
Do you think?
Maybe, but I haven't seen him again, so I don't know.
Did you alert the police?
Sweet, but no. He didn't grope or anything. So
right.
Well, seeing yourself photoshopped for the first time is pretty odd as well.
What kind of things do people do to
oh, my Lord. I looked like an alien. Like, I remember seeing it in this magazine. I won't say what one, but like my eyes, I looked like some kind of rabbit alien or something, and they like I'm quite a sort of curvy girl, like I'm not skinny, and they just made me look like a little boy with an alien head.
Really?
Yeah. And I think, man, no wonder like girls get a bit like funny, because you're just like, this is not real life at all. So that was quite an odd moment of the year as well.
Well, look, Jordan and Harley from Rizzle Kicks are here as well. Have you ever been photoshopped? I mean, these,
no, I don't think so.
No,
we've in fact, one time we did a shoot for... Oh, wait, no, I won't say again.
Probably the same people that did it to Katie.
Yeah, and this guy was like, look sexy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, actually, I don't know how, like, what do you mean? And he was just like, it was two steps away from the cliche kind of, you know, like, oh, working for me, you know. So we were like, kind of like, just like deadpan, I don't know, like, it was really awkward, like, how you're supposed to make it. Because what if your sexy pose was really unsexy? Do you know what I mean? If you're just like,
you never know.
This other day I had an approach, he was like, okay, now pout. Okay, do an aggressive pout. I'm like, what is an aggressive pout? Like, I don't know. I've never pouted before. This is weird.
That's actually a joke.
The thing is, I want to see all of these faces.
No, I've seen the picture as a result, and it's not that bad.
The it was sexy just
a,
one.
Wasn't that sexy?
Was it smouldering?
It was just that we weren't like just like smiling. It was. He actually stopped, told us to stop smiling.
Wow. How is your aggressive pout, Katie? Wow.
Wow.
Look a bit like Lana Del Rey when you hear that.
I've got red wine lips as well.
And also, my final guest, the last person to leave The Guardian. Oh, no, that's not the reason why you're here.
Literally, obviously, the last person who's here.
The only person available in the office to come in. It's Rebecca Nicholson.
Thanks, Alexis.
No. You know, a delight and a pleasure, as ever, to have you here. Let's get our review of the music year started. Here's someone you may have heard of on a radio near you. That was Adele, a rare opportunity there to hear the... Yeah, I know. A rare opportunity to hear the seldom heard Adele. It has been unequivocally Adele's year. I mean, you know, you've all had a good year. We've got Rizzle Kicks. And, well, you have. But, I mean, such things are relative. And Adele basically ate the world.
She did eat the world.
She sold, last week alone, she sold 106,000 copies of her album.
Let's talk in Britain. We spoke about this. I could have sworn when we spoke, it was like... Who is still buying Adele's
106
album?
106 in Britain.
106,000 copies
who is in
Britain last year.
Who's in
last week?
Last week, sorry, last week.
and has this goes like,
oh, who's Adele? Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I need to do?
You know
Adele
what I haven't heard nearly enough of this year? Someone Like You by Adele.
Yeah, oh my god, I've heard that a million. But do you know what? I still really like it though. It's an amazing song.
Are you still fans of Adele's work?
Yeah. Someone Like You is like,
it's a perfect, I think it's like a perfect song.
Is it like, if we're gonna talk about like someone writing a track about like a, in terms of the whole love, I think it's been kind of unrivaled for a while. I think that kind of the way it's written and stuff.
Do you think that's what it's down to, a success? It's purely the quality of the songs and her vocal performances.
Definitely, because I can't remember. I was
of that level.
The other day, like, there's certain people who have hype and then they have to have songs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, whereas Adele, it's just like she has songs for days and days and days because that's what she is. She's an amazing songwriter and an amazing singer as well. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's like she's got amazing lyrics, amazing melodies, amazing, you know, chord sequences, everything. It's like good structured songs and with good meanings.
I think it helps that everyone likes her as well.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone, and she's a funny girl.
She's an enormously engaging person. Yeah, exactly. I saw her on Jonathan Ross and she was hilarious. The rest of the show was boring as hell. She was brilliant.
She's one of my favourite people that I've ever interviewed.
Really?
Around the first album, I turned up and she was sitting there with a cup of tea, a can of Coke and a glass of water in front of her.
Right.
I said, oh, how are you doing? Are you all right? And she said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, are you sure you're all right? And she went, no, I've been in the pub for 3 days.
Brilliant.
She's just, like, so casual. Like, you just never really, like, hear about her doing anything outrageous. And then she just, it's, like, the biggest thing ever.
Seems to be a very simple thing, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's people like the songs that she did. You know, they're not buying into a backstory. Yeah. They're not really, you know, there's none of that.
Well, because I think you could have, like, an 8-year-old that's into her music and then, like, a 98-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, well, it's true. No, it crosses all boundaries. Would, I mean, you've all done very well this year commercially. Would success on that level intimidate you? Would it scare you? I mean, this is, you know, as they say in the hip hop world, some next level shit that we're talking about. You know, would, Casey, if you start selling 16 million albums in America, would that be
Think it would intimidate you. Like, that just brings your whole life to this. I don't know, like your freedom and stuff like that, I suppose, would be completely different, you know. I'm sure that Adele can't just sort of go to like Westfields and like just walk around and
say the bigger you get, the smaller your world becomes, isn't it?
But at the same time, you know, I'm sure that it's a great experience at the same time, you know.
What about you guys?
Yeah, it'd freak me out, man.
Really?
Yeah, I would know. I would be really happy, predominantly.
Yeah,
predominantly.
But your circles and like where you go and who it does change. Like,
do you get recognised a lot? Because I mean, when I interviewed you in September outside, there were some ladies outside, and it's like the gig was starting at 9 o'clock or something at night, and it was 2 p.m, and they were, you know, they weren't there to see me. Let's put it that way, you know. Does this happen a lot? Are you finding?
I suppose, kind of.
It's like London's the place where it happens the least because it's big. Yeah, but really? Kind of. I think it happens at least. When we go to other cities, it's more... Do you not think? When we go, say, we've gone to, like, Manchester.
Well, no,
but... around in, like, Newcastle or Manchester.
Yeah, Newcastle was a joke, but that was a Saturday afternoon. Like, if
I think... I think other
maybe
other
maybe. I don't know. If we stick around northeast, we're all
right. Right, okay.
But there are some places that, yeah, it's concentrated, like Westfields, you know, you don't really want to... I don't know. I always see, like, people tweeting as well, like, oh, I'm just in Westfields. Like, that sounds great. Go down, and everyone's just like, ah!
Has that happened to you, Casey?
No, I wouldn't say like I get like mobbed in the street or anything like that. But then certain people come up to you and say, oh, we like your music. And you're like,
that's
oh,
all
thanks.
Right,
yeah.
That's
even though I was in Top Shop the other day and this girl came up to me and she started crying. And, but the thing is, her sister was so embarrassed because she was just like, because she like worked in Topshop. She was like, oh, we get people coming. She was going to me, we get people coming in all the time. Like, you're like, no one, sort of thing. And her sister was like crying. She was like, can you just shut up?
You two have had experience of this as well. Tell me about Ladies' Night in the Radio Air Ladies' Night. You said that you were mobbed by crying.
Basically, we performed at this shopping centre in Leeds to 3,000 women.
females.
Yeah, like young women, old women. It was single most scary gig I think I've ever done. Kind of walking out, and we had to walk, like we had to get to the stage down an escalator. going down the escalators. Not really anywhere you can really like go or move to, and it's just like that's just people just.
It was deafening, like, you know. Obviously, normally with audiences, like the male to female ratio, and then the scream sound
sure.
will normally be heightened by like a greater proportion of females. Imagine 100%, 100% female, and I don't know. A lot of there was a good amount of young girls, and then there was kind of like the vulture-esque kind of old women on the balconies a little bit, who eventually warmed to us. They started like shaking a leg a little bit, but they were like, "Who's that?" But yeah, the screaming was just like, I don't actually. I was like,
because it's a strange thing. Because I've seen you both live, both times supporting other artists, and you got screamed at both times. I saw you supporting Professor Green.
Oh, right.
And you got screamed at.
A Roundhouse?
I saw you in Brighton supporting Tiny Temper. And you got screamed at as well, which was a new one.
That was a really good gig, actually. That was fun. Did you actually see me pour water all over my head as well?
No.
Because at the end,
brilliant attentive music
it was
journalist.
Such a good gig. Like, the Brighton gig was wicked. I know you're Brighton boys. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it was just so... It was in the round...
The dome,
yeah. The round venue. And yeah, it was amazing. And I was like, oh, I had such a good gig. And at the end, I was like, I went to go and wave to the audience, but there was no lid on my water. I poured it all over my head. But frankly, I think it was just the front row that saw, because they laughed.
No, because I was way up in the back, but so I didn't see it. You look fine. Don't worry. You made a great exit. Shall we move on? Someone who I doubt has ever inadvertently tipped water over her head at the end of a gig, Lana Del Rey.
It's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true?
Lana Del Rey, sort of a weird kind of success. This time last year, nobody had heard of her. She seemed to go from internet sensation to sort of mainstream star to someone that everyone was going, oh, she's sort of, you know, a fake and all this kind of thing, in about 20 seconds. And I find that amazing. This seems to be, regardless of the merits or otherwise...
How big was she this year? Like, I haven't really properly clocked on.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those things hard to judge.
Video games was around the charts for... blooming ages.
Ages, yeah, absolutely. But there's
and on
only
the radio
that track.
Constantly, wasn't it?
Couldn't escape
it. That's not a bad impression.
So there's not a lot of love coming from you, Rebecca. You're not a fan?
No, actually, I'm fascinated by her. And I went to the pub last night and conversation came round to Lana Del Rey, as it seems to have done a lot of time. Maybe I'm hanging out with music.
You move in very different circles to me. Well, I basically talk about childcare with my friends, but there you go, that's gone very
but
old.
I'm fascinated by her. I didn't fall in love with video games like everyone else seemed to. It was a bit dirgy for me, and it didn't really, you know, it kind of...
It does go, like, it just doesn't move anywhere.
No, it's just... Dun.
It's kind of, it's like water like trickling along.
Yeah, but I find it fascinating. But I find it fascinating that everyone's talking about her and everyone, like everything that's happened seems so transparent. You can see that this happened, it feels like video games happened of its own accord. It was a good song that people picked up on. But then, you know, there's all this discussion about whether she's authentic or not. I'm not a fan of authenticity, I don't care.
I was
going to
say,
it.
Does authenticity matter in pop music?
I don't understand what they're saying she's authentic about, though. Like, well, what is it about? Because like, she was meant to be like a pop person before.
Well, no, what they're saying is that she... There was a record company biog, I think, that went, she's from a small town America, and she lived in a trailer park in New Jersey. And it later transpired her father's a multimillionaire.
Yeah,
and the small time in small town America that she came from was some amazing skiing resort or whatever.
But you can hear the only thing that annoys me about her a little bit, like, because I haven't got a problem, like I think I'm with you on that. I'm indifferent about video games. Like, it's cool. Like, I can see why people like it. The video, some things are slightly. Get to me and like the whole posing shot thing when she's just like looking at the camera is just like what is that like
yeah, I know
okay, you're
mean.
Pretty just that like I don't really want to just see you go like a little weird pout. I think she's hot though, but like it doesn't seem like she'd be able to like maintain a
I don't know that's the interesting what,
that's
thing isn't it
the thing that fascinates me is that she seems so awkward all the time. You see her in these live performances and she doesn't seem comfortable at all.
No.
She's really which I sort of think is fascinating in itself or... But
apparently she did a gig at Shoreditch House though.
I went and to that. That was
oh yeah no because I saw you after and they
oh,
everyone
did you
said really? Yeah no I just I,
oh yeah,
I,
was, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah
I came after but everyone said that it was really good like
was it good
no Kathy? It was she sounds like amazing live. Yeah. Like, she sounds exactly the same. But I know what you mean, like, she kind of got on stage and she was kind of still sound checking. But I thought that was kind of nice about her charm. I think it would be nice to see her with a band because it was just her and a piano. And if you could imagine, like, a whole kind of 45 minutes of songs that sound like video games, like, done throughout a whole hour, it kind of, like, my group went outside for a fag and you kind of sat by there.
Young people say,
but then, you know, but at the same time, she did sound, like, incredible live, do you know what I mean? It didn't, it wasn't, and she's especially back. With, I don't know, I really like her, I like her style.
I would have loved to
see Chanel
that,
earrings,
like,
I like her hair, I like her lips. I like her lips, yeah.
But it's the thing, I hate feeling like I jump into opinions just from, like, video evidence and stuff I'm just, that's what naturally happens. Like, I'd it'd definitely change in an instant if I saw her live and she was so I kind of annoyed I missed that.
What about, Katie, as a female pop star, how important has image been? Well, how important has image been? Because you have, you don't really have an image, do you?
Not really. I think the thing is, before when I was singing, I studied music and then, I don't know, my whole life just revolved around music. That I, when I was making my album, I never actually thought of the whole style thing as being a part of it. Like, I never even clocked it until it came to, like, okay, your video's here. And, like, for On A Mission or anything, like, I didn't have a stylist or anything. I just went and got some clothes or whatever. But I don't think we even knew that you were meant to have a stylist on a video.
Right.
Or anything like that. So it was weird.
Do you think girls respond to that better in a way? That you look like
really,
an ordinary
girls
human
love
being?
Dressing up. I mean, I still love clothes. I still love doing my hair.
I'm not saying you're scruffy.
No, I am quite scruffy on a day-to-day
basis. I didn't say that.
No, but the thing is, on like an old gig and stuff like that, I would just go and wear like my ex-boyfriend's like jumper on stage or something like that.
I watched your Glastonbury performance. I loved how you just bowled on in that trackies. That's pretty sick.
I wore a dress for Glastonbury.
Was it not Glastonbury? It was something else then. I saw you performing. I saw you performing and you're wearing tracky bottoms.
Maybe I would. Oh, yeah, they were like harems.
I can't remember. Whatever it was, I was like props.
I don't know. I like clothes and stuff, but I think I just like music better.
Yeah. What a great attitude. What a great attitude to have. Thanks for that. We will be talking the best and worst festivals after this. So, part two. A record number of festivals this year. Next year, of course, Glastonbury has its self-imposed break. But is that a relief? Are we all festivaled out? Katie, will you miss Glastonbury this year?
I think I kind of respect the fact that they don't kind of milk it out like every single year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My friend was saying they have to give it the land a chance to like recover
to regenerate.
And stuff like that.
It's true.
But yeah, I think it's, you know, Glastonbury, I think, is that was the first festival that I ever went to.
And you were performing at it?
Yeah, well, Brit School, they did like a thing at the Left Field stage. Okay. And we did like a Latin set. I don't know why we decided to do a Latin set because, like, for people that have grown up, like, not playing Latin music to go and do, like, Latin percussion, it's like, it was ridiculous. I think our teachers nearly had a nervous breakdown.
Rizzle Kicks, have you ever been to Glastonbury? Are you festival goers? Are you festival fans?
I'm really annoyed, because annoyed. I love festivals. I've been to most of the festivals a lot of times, but Glastonbury's the only one.
Wow.
Both of us never have ventured to as punters, and so like if things keep going well, there's not really going to be a time where we can really just go to Glastonbury as a punter.
I don't know about that. I think it's the one festival that even if you're well known, you can actually sort of mould into the crowd.
The thing is, most of the time you're just like, the thing is with Glastonbury, the wicked thing about it is that it's kind of like a 24-hour festival.
Yeah.
So like we would stay out like all night and then you'd go to sleep and then you wouldn't like wake up in the day to go and see anyone and then you'd go out in the night. So I think in the night you can be more like just put a wig on and then a moustache and
I reckon so actually. Like, I don't know. I haven't had any. I started going to festivals when I was like really young.
Really?
Like because my mum and dad both kind of made music. Mm-hmm. I went to like Phoenix Festival.
Oh yeah, yeah. It
was like 95 or something.
Wow.
I went to a lot of Reddings and WOMAD.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a lot. I do remember vaguely after arguing about going on some play bus, I did see Jeff Buckley and Cypress Hill.
Wow.
But like I can't remember really caring. And now I was like, oh my god, like
you should tell that anecdote, but don't put in the bit about not caring. No. Just go, I saw Jeff Buckley, it was amazing.
Well, this is the thing, I remember my mum's reaction. Like about three or four. Wow. But I just remember like vague, not obviously not anything like
concrete.
But like I'm pretty sure because it was, you know, that it happened once, didn't it? Phoenix Festival.
No, I think it went on for a few years, Phoenix. Yeah, it's a long time. It's long gone now.
Yeah.
Rebecca, you are a regular Glastonbury goer, are
Not
you?
Not at all, actually. I went with my mum for the first time in, I think it was either 99 or 2000.
Wow. And how was it with your mum? How did
it
that
was
pan
fun.
Out?
My mum's friends are the load of old hippies, so
we were camped.
It was just before they'd built the super wall,
right?
So it was still lots of. We were camped with all these families and like her friends and their kids and stuff. So
okay.
Yeah, it was really nice. But then I went this year, and that was the first time I'd been since then, and it was very different. I thought atmosphere-wise, it didn't really feel like the same thing. There were a lot of posh people there, which surprised me.
Interesting. What was your highlight of Glastonbury this year?
What was my highlight? Well, I can tell you my low light, not to be negative, but having to miss Beyonce was pretty gutting.
Wow.
But my highlight was probably, I think Coldplay were on the main stage, so I ran off and went to see Janelle Monáe and Big Boy.
Oh, Janelle Monáe is
and both
the
of those
best.
Were incredible. Like, Janelle Monáe was amazing. There was hardly anyone there. Everyone was watching Coldplay.
I'm not sure about your guys' critique on Coldplay, but I saw that. We watched it on Catch Up, and I thought it was pretty epic. But Janelle Monáe as a performer, she's known this year for killing it off. Like,
I hate that album so much. It's like wasted away.
Yeah.
And her band and everything. It was just so
one, two, three.
Yeah. It was really showy for a very small stage and for very few people watching it.
That sounds great.
Fantastic.
When you say few, do you mean literally few or like?
There's
like,
probably
like
a couple of hundred.
No one
was there.
But that was a really important set for her. Didn't they film it and everyone watched it?
Yeah, they showed it.
I think she
did really well after the broadcast of it.
Yeah.
Like,
which does happen, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
her and Anna Calvi
got a massive
really well.
Threat for being like a great performer. I missed out at Big Chill as well. I was gutted about that.
Yeah,
so what festivals did you go to this year?
Yeah, Big Chill.
Big Chill.
Kanye West.
Was it good? It was a bit of a mixed reception, Kanye got.
He was essentially wicked. But it was all a bit, self-involved.
Yeah. Is that the one where he did a big rant?
Speech.
Is that the one where he did a big rant that doesn't narrow it down? But
yeah, no, it was great. Like, some of the tracks were, you know, awesome. And, like, Pusha T came on stage with him for, like, Runway or whatever. But, like, there was, like, a little interval and they started playing, like, Olympiad music. Right. And they're just, like, blowing this white sheet. And, like, I was kind of like, really? And then he came on and he was just like... Da, 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 like preaching and like on the stage of people in front of like alright like cool,
yeah.
cool just do it
there's a great clip on YouTube and it goes from people he starts talking people are like way! You know applauding what he's saying and then it's a bit and then by the end people are like will you shut up sing a fucking song you know it's like
it went on for a while
it's
but.
Terrible Katie. Apart from obviously your own set at Glastonbury, what were your highlights? Did you hang around for the rest of the weekend or were you swift in, swift out?
I didn't actually. I went to LA to film a Witch's Brew video and that was everyone's reaction. They were like, oh, stop complaining, you're going to
Yeah, you're diamond and shoes.
But I was like, I want to see Beyonce. But
everyone gets going on holiday to film their video. No,
it's a joke. We just
are some Hove Lawns, isn't
Camden.
It?
Yeah, we are some Brighton and bloody.
It's actually upsetting.
Neasden.
Don't do Neasden.
So you were just there. You were just there to perform.
Yeah.
Was it a different reaction than you normally get? Was it a different kind of crowd than you normally
really
get?
It was really cool, actually, because it was in the dance... I don't know if it was East or West. But it was really nice because it was proper packed. And I don't know, I think everyone's energy at Glastonbury is quite...
Up for it.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good.
Excellent.
Wasn't there in excess of people this year?
Was there an excess of people this year? I didn't know.
And I heard about...
It was very muddy.
God, I missed the impromptu pulp gig, wasn't it?
What gig? Who played?
Pulp.
Sorry.
I thought you said pulp.
Yes, I saw that. I saw Pulp. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They were great. They were really good. They were fantastic.
The most full that tenor.
Yeah.
It was just, you couldn't get anywhere near it. But they were fantastic. They were really, really
good.
Because there was Radiohead as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their impromptu gig was, much so of Radiohead, it was chucking it down with rain. And it was all a bit, here's our new material. And... I was getting a bit narky by the end of it. I was a bit like, come on, you know, play Creep. Do the songs, you know, do the hits, mate. Come on, play Plastic Trees.
Do you know, like, this isn't even my anecdote, but someone told me this, and I always think it's the most amazing thing, that apparently this woman went to see a Radiohead gig that was some on film crew, I don't know, and this was around the time that they had kind of come off the back of Creep and they'd played it so much they kind of out of rebellion were like, we refuse to play it.
Yeah.
And then I think that was quite a long while when they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
And no word of a lie, during the gig, there was a thunderstorm and lightning struck down instruments and only left them with enough to play Creep.
Wow.
So I played Creep in like a thunder shower storm to all these people as the last song, and it was just must have been the most epic.
That
like,
brilliant.
So God loves
I couldn't
Creep.
Have thought yeah. of
any God in play it.
Finger comes in. I would have loved anything to be there, man. That would have been amazing.
Anyway, I suppose we should talk about some of the big music news stories of the year. The Michael Jackson trial. Last month, Dr. Conrad Murray was found guilty of manslaughter. As we are recording, CNN is reporting that Michael Jackson's possessions, as seen in crime photos during the trial, are being sold for as much as $18,000 each.
As in possessions, as in...
It's just his stuff. It's, do you think we're getting to the end of the revelations about Michael Jackson? I've got. He did. There was a thing. There was a.
It's just the way in which you're saying it.
I'm not saying it. A little bit low, man. Don't start this. You never say anything about Michael Jackson because you get nut jobs from around the globe.
You just get red dots on your forehead.
Totally. Like, totally. What? Do we think the revelations about Michael Jackson are ever going to end, Rebecca?
What revelations?
Well, you know.
Oh, the whole like.
Just things coming out about his... I've got two books to read over Christmas. One is called Michael Jackson... It's like Michael Jackson, My Brother, which is by Jermaine Jackson. And another one is by some bloke that I've never heard of who is apparently his manager or something.
What? Is he from Germany?
No. He's American, but he was a little kid when Michael met him. And he sort of grew up and became Michael's personal manager and stuff like that. And it all looks a bit peculiar to me.
It's all very tawdry, isn't it? It's so dragged out. And because weren't they selling the bed that he died on, but then the family withdrew that? Or the aspirin to be withdrawn from the
auction.
Actually
really died interested in this. You want to read two books on it?
I'm actually being paid to read them. I'm writing a piece about it.
That's right.
Well, I am, you know. People say I wouldn't read it if you paid.
I think the bottom line is, the bottom line is the dude was insanely talented. Like, he was a huge pop star. And it's just like, quite obviously, had a really difficult upbringing and went through a lot of... And it messed up his head. But because he's so big, it was all in the limelight and little stories could get blown out of proportion. So, like... Although he may have done wrong, I don't think it was quite to the same scale. Like, do you know how many messed up people there are? Like, Like, which, do you know what I mean? It just, it was so much was shone upon him. And the death thing is a bit, I don't know what happened with that. It's probably Illuminati or something.
Thanks for that, Professor Griff. I mean, you know, the death thing, that's probably what happens if you take a general anaesthetic every night before you go to bed, isn't it? I mean, it's not normal. It's not normal. In July, the music world lost another artist at 27 when Amy Winehouse died of alcohol poisoning. What was your reaction to that, if any?
I remember my brother texting me, actually, and I remember being like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then, you know, when people... It's the same thing when Michael Jackson died as well, you know, like, you just sort of think, oh, my God. Because you always kind of thought, oh, she'll kind of
get through or fix up or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah, you just think... I don't know. And I literally used to play Frank every single day when I was 15. Oh, yeah. And, like... You know, when you go through like YouTube moments of like, I would literally just sit there and watch interviews of Amy Winehouse, like, because she's just such
she's so funny.
Really
funny. Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird. I wish I could have got to meet her, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know, I think at the same time, it just got into this big, massive thing where it was just blown up massively. And I think it was nice to kind of, when it had calmed down, to kind of, then I think it kind of kicked in, like, oh no, like, she's never going to make another album again.
Yeah.
She's never.
I know,
it's quite sad, really.
I mean, I don't think she's ever going to... I think the evidence of the album that they've put out, Lioness, indicates that, to be honest with you, unless something pretty drastic had changed in her life, she was never going to make another album anyway.
Not quite to the same level as Frank or...
Well, I mean, she seemed to have recorded, like, three things in the last sort of 4 years of her life, and that was it. You know what I mean? The woman clearly wasn't capable of working.
I think what was weird about her passing away was that, like, we had just finished some gig in Sheffield, didn't we? And, like, someone just came, literally, as we got back into our, like, little splitter that we drive around. Mm. They were like, oh, Amy Winehouse has passed away. And it was like, we've never met Amy Winehouse. Mm. And we've never... But we, you know, big fans, and we're on the same label and stuff. Mm. But it was kind of like, I just sunk. And I'm not even that type of person. Like, if anything, I'm a bit, like, heartless. and I just felt as though I choked up a bit, like, because... At the end of the day, regardless of people's comments, we were on her side. Like, do you know what I mean? Because she was so talented.
That's the thing.
I
think when someone said, like, when I listened to that album, oh my god, there's this track, Take the Box. Yeah, it's such an amazing song from Frank, and they released like a demo version of it, and her voice on that song is just. It's like insane. It's to the point where you're like, why do I sing again? Why do I sing again? Like, I can't. You just can't remember why you sing when someone like that, like, takes it to some ridiculous level, and you're. And that is, I think, what is so sad and what is
what was the shock was because, you know, there's so many times that new music comes out and you, like, you're like, oh yeah, I'm really feeling this or I'm really feeling that. But I think Amy Winehouse was one of those people that came along and it was like, you're just amazing on every single level.
And I think that's the other thing that was slightly shocking about her death was that it wasn't just that you just think certain people are indestructible because, you know, they've been sort of publicly off their head for so long. You sort of think, well, they're not, you know what I mean?
These people are
like that. It's also the fact that she had taken, you know, really bad situations in her life and turned them into amazing records. And there was a little part of me that thought, well, maybe she'll be able to do that again. Maybe she'll pull herself out. You know, everybody knows that Back to Black came from a really, really bad place that she was in. And she's pissed all the time and she's broke up with a boy. And all this kind of thing. You sort of thought, well, maybe this is just going to be fuel for another amazing record. And it just wasn't.
Did you ever meet her?
No, I didn't. No, ever. Did you?
No, I saw her perform once. I was watching Pop World being filmed, so it's going back a few years, but she was, I don't think she was well at the time, and she was really about 5 hours late for her performance, kind of ambled up to the studio, came in and just did this flawless performance, and everyone in the room was just stunned into silence. It was absolutely incredible. Nobody had expected it, and it was a real goose. I mean, it sounds, it's such a cliche to say, but it really was kind of raising the goosebumps. It was incredible.
I saw her live 3 times, and I saw her when she did the thing at the Mercury's, which is exactly the same thing. Everyone's like, she's not going to turn up, she's totally fucked up, and she came in and was clearly sort of wobbly or whatever, but was just, you know, she did, it was just amazing. But I also saw the last gig she did in Brighton, and I'd kind of previously thought, oh, well, people are slagging this tour off, and I was like, well, maybe this is what it's like going to see Billie Holiday live or something. Maybe you would see someone that was half the time was crying and in a real state and would then pull this sort of amazing performance out and then collapse all over again. And actually, you know what, it was horrible. It was really, really disheartening and sad to see. There was nothing kind of, there's just nothing glamorous about it. There was nothing kind of like, wow, this is an artist on the edge and they're kind of dead. It was just sort of, it was just dead sad, really.
Depressing.
Yeah, really depressing. They cancelled the tour after that night.
Because I saw it on the first album at Shepherd's Bush, which was, like, amazing. I remember, actually, my friend came with me and she was singing every single word and we were going to get chucked out because my friend, like, she was ruining everyone's performance. And then the second time, she actually performed at Brit School. We were there, and literally, I was she was standing on this little podium in the foyer, and we queued up for like 3 hours to make sure we got the front row, like me and my friend. And then I was literally standing right in front of her, like I could like proper touch her. But the thing is, she did the first gig. I mean, a week before that, she was meant to do the gig, and they set everything up. But she was like really upset about something. I think it was like something to do with Blake or something. So she just kind of went home. But the thing is, it was really weird because all these people, like students from school, were like going up to her and being like, "Can I have a picture?" Like while she was crying, and I was thinking, "Just leave her alone!" Like, what the hell? Like, so it must have been like she must have kind of got that quite a lot. It was really weird. But then she came back the week later.
I think it's just she was just like stupidly, like amazingly talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point to leave it. Right. Okay, award winners this year we're going to move on to. PJ Harvey, who's won sort of Album of the Year.
Who beat Katie.
You got second
in the Guardian
and
Album
at the
of the
Mercury
Year.
As well.
And at the Mercury too.
Do you hate PJ Harvey for that reason?
Yeah. That was a second.
I have hired a hitman, yes.
I don't know who PJ Harvey is.
You see, here's a divide. This is a really interesting thing. PJ Harvey. That's kind of because it was definitely.
It's like mid-90s.
Earlier. I haven't heard the new album. She's quite sexy, I think.
She's
quite
very
dominant,
sexy,
isn't she?
Yeah, I queued up behind her in the guest list queue at Nick Cave.
She's got a nice bum.
Bloody hell.
I mean, obviously, that's, you know, and obviously,
summary: PJ Harvey's got a nice bum.
No, I didn't say she had a nice bum. You said that, Casey. Not me. I wouldn't. I admire her as an artist in her own right. But no, she's definitely got a thing going on for her. Yeah. You know what I mean? There was definitely a.
But that's always all through her career. I think that's always been the case in to varying degrees of performance, and you know, it's always been there.
Are you still talking about a bum?
Guitar is quite
I'm still talking
sexy
about her bum,
instrument.
It's always been there.
You think the guitar is a sexy instrument?
Yeah, there's like, I remember when I went to uni, like, someone actually wrote a whole essay on like the guitar and like how Jimi Hendrix kind of like used it as his like penis or something
well,
like
John
that.
John Jett's got some interesting theories about it not being a penis. This could go into a really.
This is good. No, come on, bring it on. This has moved on. We you know. Nobody seems to really know who PJ Harvey is, so let's talk about the guitar of the penis.
Well, her argument is that it's not a penis because if you think about how you play a guitar, it's a different thing.
Oh, right.
Strumming guitars.
Exactly.
You strum guitars.
Honestly, how are you confused? I don't know who Joan Jett's been going to bed with, but I don't Better Tiny Temper. Let's just move on. Let's just stop this discussion now. Tiny Temper has won Ivor Novello's Brit Awards, everything.
Swept it.
Amazing. Why do we think he is? Because, I mean, there are a lot of British rappers out there working
now,
with pop mode.
As a result of him.
Yeah. Okay. Why do you think
Chipmunk and Chinchy?
It's just an amazing track. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just all about that tune.
Which track?
Pass Out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just that's what he won the Ivor for.
Mm-hmm.
And being from Scunthorpe, I'm very excited to hear Scunthorpe mentioned in a popular song.
He's done that a couple of times in his
tracks. There's a lot of lyrics, that you just you think at first are stupid.
Sounds really stupid.
Like, would you risk it for a chocolate biscuit in Frisky?
Just made it infamous.
Yeah, there's I bet if you search that on Facebook, there's just hundreds, and there is just hundreds of Facebook groups. Would you risk it for a chocolate digestive?
Why do you think he's such a good... I mean, you clearly think he's a bit of a game changer. Why? Yeah.
Well,
speaking as a rapper.
Basically, you get told when you rap, right? Well, I don't know. We haven't really, but I assume when it was harder to kind of break through with rap because people just switch off, that you have to kind of be clear and you have to be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of taken that style because he kind of raps like, and it's kind of really easy to get with. But he does it quite intelligently as well. So I think he never lost any appreciation on a rapping level. I've never thought that he's lost any impact with his lyrics and stuff.
No.
He's always had the cheeky lyric here and there. Mm-hmm. That's been okay, cool. And then Pass Out was a first track produced by Labyrinth, who's now known as an Unreal producer, who was always talented.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of two things blew up at once, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like him on a production level and Tiny on a performance level. And I think it's just brilliant.
I also feel when with grime rappers originally trying to make it into mainstream, they'd automatically go really pop, kind of straight up pop. But Tiny kind of reached a barrier which was kind of it was in between kind of just grimy, hard, and then poppy.
A lot of rappers sometimes depend on a feature and someone singing the hook or something like that. Whereas with Tiny, his first two tracks was just him. Even though Labyrinth obviously was a massive part of that as well, it was kind of cool because it was I'm Tiny Temper. I'm not just someone who's doing some random rap that you don't hear about, and then there's a chorus which is a sample or whatever, from some old.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. No, I also think the other thing that he's done that's really interesting is the British character, the English character, tends to be quite self-deprecating, with people that make jokes about ourselves and da-da-da. And hip-hop is kind of the opposite of that. Hip-hop is largely about going, I'm amazing, I'm this, that, and the other, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And he's managed to find a sort of middle path in his lyrics between doing... He manages to do both those things. He manages to be really self-deprecating and go... and also, what do they say? Got my swag on? Is that
the kids on this internet
that I keep hearing about. But I think it's really interesting. I think as a lyricist, he pilots quite an intriguing path between being, it's not sort of a joke what he does, but it's kind of funny.
He's a very polite, lovely man.
Yeah.
I went on tour with him, and literally the first day he came into my dressing room and he was like, "Katie, if you want to come and come and hang around in our dressing room. Don't feel like you have to stay in your bit or
That's nice.
He was made me feel so welcome I don't know, it was just, I don't know. He was like, "Oh, we're going to a party, do you want to come?" It wasn't I'm too good to speak to you or you're a sport or anything like that. He was just and even I met him in Ayanapa 3 years ago when he hadn't blown, and I was doing some funky tracks and we did some One Extra thing together. And even then I remember him coming up to me being like, "Hi, I'm Tiny, nice to meet you." And he's just always been that. And
he seems driven as well to a slightly terrifying degree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
he was I want to be headlining Glastonbury in 3 years' time.
I think that's really good because I had some, used to do interviews with people, particularly on the grime scene, MCs and stuff like that. And let's be 50-50 chance whether they turn up or not. It would be or they turn up 3 hours. And there seems to be this sense of incredible professionalism about, UK, not just rap, but kind of urban music in general now, which didn't used to be there, maybe.
Pop stars, British pop stars, are generally very professional these
days.
I think you have
Is there evidence for us?
Yeah, but I think you have to be, don't you?
Yeah.
that it feels like the kind of the room for the wild.
Well, I think the nature of the music industry means that you have to do like double the work to earn, personally, money wise, and you know, coverage wise, because it's such a competitive industry now. Because you know, the money's gone from selling actual music, like you have to be doing like everything else in order to keep yourself there.
Yeah.
So I think it's the people who are switched on and just go for it. Like from our personal experience of people we've met, like Ollie Murs is like the most professional guy ever, and it shows in how well he's done. Tiny, as you say, Jesse J, like on some different scale, is like just like so locked down. Just like, I'm not. She just like to the point where she'll probably go into a room and there'll be like 50 people, but she knows who she wants to speak to. She'll be like,
right, right, right.
Like,
right.
You know?
I'm terrified of Jesse J.
She's so lovely, but she's just so like driven. It's like quite like you say. It's quite like impressive and
It's an amazing way to conduct yourself. Let's talk
about us, really.
Let's talk about next year, 2012 predictions. Rebecca,
well, mine is quite obvious, but I'm excited about Azealia Banks.
Oh yeah,
gee, that 212 is one of my favorites.
What you gonna do when I appear? I really want to hear another. I've heard like another
there's
little
another
track.
One Licorice that just came out.
I want like a female rapper to come out that doesn't just talk about fannies.
This is what I thought, yeah, because someone was saying it's new and I was like, I swear there is a whole scene. My friend showed me the other day a whole scene of these female rappers who are like, I love
like
pussy.
Iggy Azalea.
Lil Kim did do
but
that.
I do, I really like Azealia Banks. I love her look and I love
that
her
video,
like her swagger or whatever. Like she's wicked, but like it would be wicked for like a Lauryn Hill to come out now someone like that, or even just
that's
kind of
like Janelle a little bit though. No, she doesn't really rap,
but that's interesting. There's not like a kind of conscious female rapper, is there? That's quite an intriguing,
but not conscious to the point where it gets
not
like self-righteous or anything.
I think the thing is, she is talking about sex, but she's funny with it. She's not just saying I love Fanny.
Well,
funny about fannies.
Yeah, she's being funny about it too.
I think to go with both your points, I think it's like something that's has been played upon, but on a small kind of niche scene for a while. And hers has stepped past that because the video is really cool.
Yeah.
And like there, you know, everyone loves a bit of like, oh my god, I can't believe you said that. Like that's why Odd Future was so big. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, they're talking about this. You can't talk about that. You can't say the C word in a song. Like, everyone loves it. You know, little like. Rich kids and that are just like, oh, I'm going to play this top volume.
She appears to be running, which I think is amazing, a Twitter account from her vagina. She has a Twitter account called...
I didn't know that was hers.
She said, check this... Well, certainly she linked to it on Twitter. And she went, check this out. You know, it's my twat, were exact words. And it's like a thing.
It's
supposed
to be
her...
in America.
She'd spelt it the right way. And it's a Twitter account that appears to be written, you know, from the perspective of her vagina. I mean, remarkable.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty funny.
It's amazing. That's 360-degree connectivity for you.
But she's already working with Kanye. So
is she?
That shows how quickly things move.
Yeah. No way. From that video?
Yeah.
Oof.
I know.
What are you doing in 2012? What are your plans, KTB?
I've done a track with Mark Ronson for the Olympics.
Wow. All right. How did that go?
Theme tune. How did it go? Yeah, it was amazing. Well, it was wicked because Mark... He went like around the world, like sampling different athletes, and so there's like table tennis, but uses his like percussion and like some archer. His arrow like hitting the board sounds exactly like a bass drum, and he's just sampled it all and we turned it into a song.
That sounds brilliant. I think he was working on that last time I saw him. Actually, I think he was in the middle of. He said he was in the middle.
Yeah, it was very long because he's just got married, so and gone on honeymoon, and like I was on tour, so it was mad, like doing half days here and there, like trying to get it finished and stuff. But yeah, it's finished now, so we've done a video for it and everything.
Brilliant. On a bike, were you? Coca Cola try and get you on a bike?
No, no, no. There was no Duffy moment.
Don't do that.
That's a sweet advert.
A unique viewpoint. Rizzle Kicks, what are you doing next year? What are your plans?
Yeah. I really want to make some like loads and loads more music.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think because everything was so like,
yeah,
like we kind of got pulled away a little bit, only a little bit, like, and in good, you know,
of course,
in
good nice way, yeah, absolutely.
From like the creative part, but I mean, January we're going to start making new stuff, and you know, difficult second album, all that malarkey. We just want to get it done and just like, you know, keep it fresh and stuff, and like try not to like disappear.
That's always a good thing. That's what I'm planning for.
I don't know about predictions though. Like,
yeah,
the world is going to end.
Oh yeah, the Mayan apocalypse. So apparently not for like 5 months or something though. So
we're blessed. We can.
It's all
right. I believe that the Mayan apocalypse, a lot of Mayan elders have expressly said it isn't going to happen.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen.
It seems to be Ashton Kutcher or whatever he's called. He seems to believe it.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of Mayans have gone, no, this is absolute bollocks. I wouldn't worry.
Well, I just think if I was writing a calendar like 1,000 years ago or something, I would have got to 2012 and be like, no one's going to live that long.
Yeah,
like,
just put something crazy in. You know? Yeah,
it's going to
come down and squash the world. Yeah. I don't think the world's going to end. But maybe it will. It'd be bad
if it... Do you remember at the Millennium when it was like walking down the high street? I'd be walking down like Rye Lane and there's all these people with like megaphones going, like handing you leaflets, you're not going to die. Floor.
Well, look, I hope the world doesn't end before your Olympic record comes out and before you get
to release...
I think
the Olympics go well. I mean, that's a prediction. I predict the Olympics will be eventful.
But do you know what? It's mad. Like, meeting all the athletes got me so excited because before that, you know, I hadn't really... I mean, I remember turning on the telly to watch some, like the winter ones and seeing the ice skaters and being, like, crying because it was so amazing.
I laugh. It's a perfectly legitimate response to it.
I from watching this.
So it was, like, amazing, like, dancing on ice or whatever. And,
Well, look, we will be doing more of this. Well, not this. We won't be talking about the Olympics, but we'll be doing more predictions in next week's programme when we will be asking those sage, wizened heads on the Guardian music team what their predictions for 2012 are. And that's it for today. Thanks to Katie Mee. Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you all for coming in. I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you, Katie. Thank you for coming in. Thank you to the Grizzle Kicks for coming in.
Yeah. No, was that?
And of course, Rebecca Nichols.
I feel like I should apologise. We've talked about vaginas a lot.
It's all right. It's what the listeners love. That's what
I also say, no one's going to be able to see this, but I really want to psychoanalyse the difference between what you two have done with your... is it tangerine?
It is a tangerine.
Yeah. Your tangerine peel. The Alexis has piled his up neatly.
That's not piled, that's it. That's more neat than what
that,
we've done.
That, I want to psychoanalyse that.
I don't really know what I've done there. That's I didn't even realise I'd done that.
It's my shattered dreams.
Well, look, thank you all very much for coming in. I'm Alexis Petridis. The producer is Matt Hill. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.